Artists and identical twins Ryan and Trevor Oakes were in residence at MPAC in Troy, New York, and created a commissioned drawing of MPAC's concert hall. The exhibition is called The Periphery of Perception, and it marks the first time the Oakes brothers have re-envisioned the structure on their canvases to encompass the full 240-degree field of human sight. The drawing also accounts for the experience of binocular vision. There will be a panel discussion at MPAC tomorrow at 6 p.m. between Ryan and Trevor Oakes, writer Damian James, and photographer Michael Benson on optics, the nature of light, and the rendering of visual reality. We're joined now in the studio by Ryan and Trevor Oakes, as well as MPAC's curator Emily Zimmerman. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
So, Trevor, let us begin with you. How did this come about?
Well, the idea came about from a number of small observations about human vision, little observations that didn't seem like much at the time, such as the fact that if you close one of your eyes, your nose becomes quite prominent,
right,
in your periphery. And over the course of 4 years, we sort of added up a number of small observations, and at the end of 4 years, orchestrated them together into this method for drawing real space accurately.
Okay, so. What does that mean, Ryan?
Like
real space. What does that mean?
Well, okay. So when we look out into the world, it's very easy to think that the stuff that we're seeing is kind of permanent and omnipresent in its visual look.
Okay.
But when you start to assess what's actually happening, you realize that it's your mind's eye that's constructing how things look. So say a rectangular side of a building. We perceive it to be a rectangle, but it actually looks to be more of a kind of skew angle trapezoid in our visual cortex. And we developed a method where we could sort of almost do a little brain hack and lift the exact arrangement of a visual scene out of the mind's eye and put it onto a piece of paper.
Okay, so how do you hack the brain? I mean, is only... Are you only licensed to hack your brain, or can you hack other people's brains?
it's a single user license.
Okay,
you can only hack your own without getting into trouble.
Okay, but you can teach other people how to hack their brain.
Certainly, it's quite easy, and as a matter of fact, people could have hacked their brains in this way since the beginning of humans seeing the world with two eyes.
But why haven't they?
That's the question.
That's a good question.
MPAC's trying to get to the bottom of it.
Okay. Now, Emily, so at what point did you say, hey, this sounds like a good idea, let's go with it?
Well, it came about very organically in a way that connected all of the right dots. So about 2 years ago, we received an email from Laurie Anderson, who was in residence at MPAC at the time, saying, check out this work. It's really amazing. And it was quite clear very soon thereafter, after doing some reading, that the Oaks were making a very unique contribution to the conversation about the representation of visual reality. And I had them in mind for several years, and then just about a year ago, a writer named Damian James came to MPAC to review an exhibition called Uncertain Spectator, and he had written about the Oaks' work, and it kind of re-entered them into the conversation. The MPAC curators had recently decided to do a series of commissions for public space for the MPAC building,
mm-hmm.
and it then occurred to me that they might be the right artist to invite. So we did a studio visit, and based on that conversation and the extent to which the Oaks were engaging art, science, perception in their work, it was quite clear that they would be a very good fit for a commission.
Where is home base for the two of you?
New York City.
Yeah.
Okay, you're out of New York.
Yeah.
And so you work on this project together. I mean, this you work together.
Yes, we do.
Okay. So how do you consider yourself artists, or I mean, how do you what pays the bills?
these days art does.
Okay.
We've been lucky enough to make that transition.
All right. Because I mean there are practical elements to this as well that could be applied, So, but we can also look at it as an artistic. So I was just interested in like what actually, you know, where the check comes from.
Yeah. For us, it has been entirely an artistic exploration. The work that's produced is in the form of drawings and sculptures that are like art pieces once they're finished.
Okay.
There is a sort of number of kind of scientific-esque like steps that were made along the way, but we never turned it into like, you know, writing a thesis or a formal scientific article.
That takes too much time. So you do this, and how do the two of you work together? How is that a collaborative process?
Yeah, so it's kind of like it's co-directed would be maybe the best metaphor. When MPAC asked us to come do this drawing, we first did a site visit and walked around the entire building, and through discussion between the two of us decided where would be the best location to do the drawing.
Yeah.
We decided on the concert hall. And then even once we had chosen the site, a lot of the decisions about what types of marks will be used, what types of like how the logic of the pen will depict the scene. In all of the early drawings, we had decided to only outline edges of form. So there was no shading. There was no depiction of light and shadow in the space. It was only like if there's an edge on the edge of a building, it gets a straight line. And that gave the overall drawing a kind of wire form feel of the form that occupied the space, but it said nothing about the kind of light filling the air with filling the volume of the air, casting shadows in some areas and highlights in others. With the impact drawing, we decided to use shading, and then we decided to use a very specific type of shading that's made with concentric rings. There's like pools of five concentric rings. For each mark is five concentric rings placed in succession, and then the overall surface is kind of like raindrops on a puddle. It's got this kind of puddly textured feel.
And now, once you have the code, if I say to you, Ryan, and to you, Trevor, work on this, because you're using the code, will it come out similarly?
Yes and no. So Trevor,
and this gets into the brain hacking again, doesn't it?
Yes. And the brain hacking takes a little bit of practice. We never told exactly how the brain hacking works, but if you're curious to hear, I'll try to give you a concise.
And because you were working on one, just so I'm clear on this,
yeah,
and the audience, and God knows I'm clear on very little about this, but on the when it comes to the final project, there's one drawing, right?
Right. There's one drawing.
Okay, and the two of you are working on it.
The two of us are co-steering it. The pen work is being done by me.
Okay. All right.
And that keeps a consistency to the hand in the drawing.
Okay. So back to the hacking.
Okay. The hacking takes a bit of practice. Anyone can do it, but it does take some practice. And I particularly have practiced more than Ryan has.
Get on it, buddy.
but it basically involves holding a pen near your face,
okay,
looking past that pen into the distance, and perceiving the pen to divide into a double image of itself.
Which happens as an automatic phenomenon of binocular vision, of seeing with two eyes in tandem.
Yeah, hold it roughly a foot away, 15 inches.
Okay,
and then just look into the distance beyond the
pen. Look past the pen.
Yeah.
Okay, and then I see actually your two pens.
Yeah, because you're looking past my pen as well.
Right, yeah. Okay, and this is, I mean, isn't this very similar to when you shake the pen and it looks like it's wiggly, right?
Maybe. It's a little more similar to the floating finger.
Okay.
You know, when you look past and you see the third finger in the middle.
Yes,
the little, like, hot dog finger floating.
Okay, so once you've looked past your pen and divided it into double, if you stay focused in the distance, you can get that double image to stay stable in your vision. And you can then take the actual pen and hold it up to the edge of a sheet of paper and let its ghosted double float out next to the paper in midair, seemingly overlapping the scene ahead of you.
Okay.
And if you only look at the second pen that's floating in midair, you can trace it over top of the scene out there and copy down, literally trace down the proportions of the scene in a very accurate manner.
So once you are looking at it in that way,
yeah,
you are engaged at that point, and then it's easier, I assume. It's not a constant process of having to find it.
Right. Mm. Well, yeah, so it's tricky to hold it. It's tricky because you have a dominant eye and a recessive eye. Once the pen splits into double, your recessive eye tends to want to just drop out the second image.
Okay.
And only show your brain one image. So you have to really practice to get the recessive eye to come up to an equal 50%. And that takes a little bit of mental practice.
Right. Which Ryan hasn't done yet.
Okay. Well.
So now how do you guide the pen then? So how are you involved?
Well, it's
because are you seeing that pen too?
I'm not seeing the double ghosted pen. I'm seeing a singular pen that's touching the paper the way anyone that would be watching.
Okay.
But in terms of how the lines are going onto the piece of paper, we will always have a logic set that's guiding the overall drawing.
Mm-hmm.
And those decisions are something that we discuss from moment to moment.
Mm-hmm.
How the scene is being translated, how it's landing onto the piece of paper, what features of the visual reality are being lifted, and what the rationale is for why.
Yeah, yeah. Trying to make all the conceptual underpinnings match up correctly.
And I think it's important that the process derived from a lifelong conversation about the nature of human perception also.
Mm-hmm.
And that it engages in a way it's really about dialogue in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're out of time. We're hopelessly out of time. But would you have thought of this had you not been twins? Do you think?
Yeah. A number of people have asked that question. That binocularity, twin brothers. There seems like a connection here.
Twin pens and
twin pens. Yeah.
Yeah.
The answer is that I really don't know.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is interesting. I mean, it seems like it's a nuance to it that
certainly people have brought that up.
It's fascinating stuff. You can find out more information by simply going over to MPAC. It's the Periphery of Perception. It takes place. It's on display through Thursday, May 31st. And to learn more about the event, which is tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, the panel discussion featuring Ryan and Trevor Oakes, you can go to mpac.rpi.edu. mpac.rpi.edu. The Periphery of Perception. Emily, Ryan, Trevor, I thank you very much for being here, and best of luck in the project.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.